worship Jesus, oh, the Father of creation. Oh, we've come to give him glory, for he's the author of salvation, for he alone is worthy to receive our adoration. Oh, we're here just to worship our Lord. Oh, yes, we're here to worship Jesus, oh, the Father of creation. Oh, yes,
we come to give him glory,
for he's the author of salvation. Yes, for he alone is worthy, oh, to receive our adoration. Oh, yes, we're here just to worship our Lord. Yes, we're here to worship Jesus, yes, the Father of creation. We come to give him glory, oh, for he's the
Praise God. It's good to be here Wednesday night. We've got a good praise report. We sold our house, and Brother Mark's got his sold too. So all we got to worry about now is Brother Durham. Isn't that right? He's the only one that's got one left out there to sell. Oh, and Dad, Mom, Dad's got theirs to sell, but they ain't sold it yet. But we've got to... I've got to head up there tomorrow because they're having a FHA inspection first thing Friday morning. So I got to do a bunch. I got to make sure the heater's on and the septic's uncovered, which I don't know how that's going to work because it's like freezing cold up there. 20 degrees was the high today, so I got to go dig up some frozen ground. And I got to turn the water on and get everything, make sure everything's working good, and so they can inspect it. But they were excited about that because making due house payments is not easy. But we've managed so far. But we moved here and we trusted the Lord that He would take care of us. That Brother Durham was talking to me and he was talking about the three Hebrew children. They never said we believe God told them that He was going to deliver them. They said we don't know. They believe we could, and we trust that that He can deliver us. But even if He don't, we're gonna obey God. Serve Him anyway. Well, I didn't know what was going to happen when I come down here. But I knew God was dealing with me about it because you're going to have to excuse me. I've got a little thing. I cough more at night, and I got to put some in my mouth. We didn't know, but I knew it was God's hand was on us moving down here because miraculously, in January of this year, Brother Smith told me, well, wait a minute. When did he actually That's right. January of 08 is when he become pastor, right? And he told right after he did, he said, I really think we need to combine the churches. And I'm thinking, there ain't no way I could do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And within, by the end of that month, we had a major hailstorm in Springfield that made my business that wasn't worth nothing worth something. And by by March of that year, we had a company, we started talking negotiations of selling my business. So I know the Lord's hand. It's kind of like Brother Roy Allen pointed out to us the story of Esther in the Bible. They were debating whether or not to make that part of the Bible. And they could see God's hand in what happened. Although God never parted any seas or performed miracles other than that was a miracle. But no manifestation, natural manifestations, manna falling from heaven and all that. But God's hand was shown all through there. Well, I seen God's hand directed me down here. And so I don't doubt that it's God. So when I moved without having even having my house up for sale, I knew that, I still knew that it was God bringing me down here. And then all this time, I've had it up for sale, and I never had a legitimate offer. I still knew God's hand was in it. That he was not to worry, not to fret. I'm not going to lose that house. But even if I did lose it, I would say, I know God's hand was in me coming down here. And even when times got lean, I knew God's hand was in us coming down here. I didn't question that. I did ask God, now, what are you doing here? But I've made up my mind I was going to serve him anyway. Because he's a great God. And when he called me and chose me and saved me, his calling is without repentance, the Bible says. And so I had to, I have to say in my heart that, Lord, I'm abandoned to you. I'm yours. Do with what you will with me. Now that's, and I'm not sure that I'm ready for everything that he could take me through. But I know he wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. But I had a thought. I wish I'd printed off this thing because it was validating my thought. But I'll just tell you, maybe a scriptural too to come to my mind. If not, I was just going to share this with you. And that is, I feel like one of the greatest misconceptions of the people of God is that, well, let me back up. We know that this group here, there's no visitors here tonight. We all know what we teach about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. One time I had a friend, you've heard Brother Smith talk about the man who was praying about which Bible to read, and God showed him the King James Version, and how that he fasted and prayed about. Well, the same man at that time was single, and he was an outdoorsman, and he was an ex-Marine, and he was a very... he did karate, and someone told him, he said, you would make a great scoutmaster for the Boy Scouts. And he went about approaching that idea like he approaches the idea about the Bible. Well, I'll pray about it. And so he did. He didn't just say, I'll pray about it. He prayed and fasted about it. And God gave him an answer. He said that's good, but it comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so that was the answer he got. And I think that's a great misconception of the people of God, that that's what deceives us. We don't debate about what's wrong. You know, people know here it's not, it's wrong. It's thou shalt not kill, bear false witness, lie, cheat, and steal. We know that's wrong. But what we debate about is we debate about that which is good. And the misconception of, or the misapplication of righteousness, mistaking the good that comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for righteousness that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. That's a thought that hit me this last week, or about a week or so ago. And so I started thinking about that. Do I put my stock in that which is good, or do I put my stock in that which is righteous? Now, I don't know that I can go any further than talking about that or not, but that's something to think about. I wanted to present a thought, something that provoked my thinking. I wanted to know if that would provoke your thinking too, because I just it's easy to get those two things confused. There's a lot of people here in the world, that the Christian world, they really, really, really believe that the conservative movement is God, is of God and is righteous, and they could be no more further off base than anything. It's not. It's corrupt and it's really evil. because it comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it appears to be good because they promote good things. But you know what it produces? Men who've got using $100,000 worth of money on harlots. All kinds of unrighteousness that these men say that they're going to clean up their government and they're going to do all these things and they're going to put the Ten Commandments back in school. Those men, the same good that they promote, evil comes from them. But the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ Jesus will only produce righteousness. That's the promised seed, the life that was produced in Christ. He promised the same life in us. Not that we would produce. He said, where's the scripture? He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he said another place, a well could not produce both sweet and bitter. Well, that there is a well that can produce kind of a sweet and bitter, but that's man's well, not God's well. Only well he's going to produce in our life is a well of living water. I'm going to see if I can. Bless you. My wife said when she was in school, she sneezed like that and she'd get in trouble for it because they thought she's, what do you always say I'm doing? No, she says I'm always, when I cough a little hard or loud, she says I exaggerated or something like that. I'm dramatic. She thought they thought she's being dramatic. That's just the way she sneezed. But I just wanted, I may read just a little bit. I don't know if God will give me anything, but I don't want to start off in the fifth chapter of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into his this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope, you know, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Bible says it pleased him to bruise him. Sometimes say, well, God, you know, it's not God's will for me to be have this affliction. It's, you know, how could you I be in God's will if this is happening to me? Well, it pleased him to bruise Christ. Why? Why did it please him to bruise Christ? Because he was trying to prove he was producing something in Christ. Patience and experience and hope. But Peter said, count it not strange, these fiery trials that we go through for, how does he say it? Somebody's good quote or quote. I can't hear y'all. Oh, here we go. Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as some strange thing has happened to you. Go to the next verse, 13. And but rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be also glad also with exceeding joy. Boy, you know, it's strange. That's foreign language. Because, especially, you know, we think it's foreign to us. It was very foreign to the Jews, because the Jews believed that the more okay things were, the more God was blessing you. Therefore, you give favor unto God. But it's not about you know, what you can do to bring favor unto God. It's what you yielding your life where he can use you. And to bring you into a full, in a complete relationship with him and trust. He could use you to witness to others, that they can see the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and it makes them say, I want that. I want God. If that's God, that's what I want. That's his purpose in us. He wants to bring, he wants to draw all, the whole world groaneth and travaileth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? They're looking for a manifestation of God. What is God? They're going to see it through his people. Hallelujah. That's why he's coming in a people. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death of his son, much more reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot said in verse 9 and 10. That's a lot said, and there's a lot of people that don't understand it. They've got some kind of hocus-pocus, greasy grace message that somehow, that now you're okay because God sees you through the blood, and that's all that counts. Because somehow you, God's now forgiven you because you said the sinner's prayer, and now he just looks at you through the blood, and you're okay, you're going to go to heaven. But I believe the power of Christ and his something he did in his death was much more greater than God just throwing a blanket forgiveness on you. And in his resurrection, there's such a more greater than him showing that we could be resurrected into life. But a power to take a corruptible, Adamic nature that we were born with and making us incorruptible. And now we can enter in a covenant with him. He can change our life and change us into his likeness if we'll just yield over to him 100%. So that's what the Lord's dealing with me about. Yielding over to him every day, to God. God, I'm at your mercy today, at your will, at your call. Where is it I may go? What is it I might say to build your kingdom? And I believe that that's not only my call, that's all of your call. You know, if we would all do that, how great could the God put his body together? And what could we accomplish? Praise God. Well, I just wanted to share some of my thoughts with you tonight. It's cold, but for you Missourians that are down here, the high today was 20, and the low tonight's going to be 8. I was checking the weather before because I got to go up there. It be cold up there. So I'm glad to be in Little Rock, Arkansas. Aren't y'all glad y'all didn't have to move north? We got to come south. No, we've got many. They're having a very important meeting. I think this is probably going to be a landmark meeting to remember in Louisville, a minister's meeting. And we need to pray for this, the brethren that are there and brethren that aren't there. I wish I could have been there. And we also have many that are still out in the sick. Brother and Sister McGowan are still being afflicted. So we'll need to, I'd like us to pray that God help them through this time of sickness. Who else is sick? Here are the elderly sisters. Sister Wilkins, Sister Rice. They're sick. Are they sick? End of the weather. Let me pray for them. Brother, let's see, who else in here? Anybody can help me out? Yes. Okay. I don't want to get them out in this weather. They're already messed up. Pray for the twins, Matt and Reva. If anybody, I seen her post on Facebook that if anybody wants to help her catch a few winks of sleep. Y'all got a crew going? Another volunteer, I guess, to go over in the daytime and watch them while she just gets them a few. While she gets a shower and a nap. Yeah. Wrangle Anthony. So anyway, so I know that's they're having tough times. Let's pray for them. than anybody else. Help me out here. Sister Abraham. Your family and this neighbor, James. Dave and Gail aren't here tonight. Didn't get away any time. Okay. Walls. Keep Ray and Sue. Keep them on your prayers. God help them and their need, and Brother Shelby as well. And Ron, is it Ron Johnson? Pray for him. He's desiring a closer walk with the Lord, Sister Karen. What's her name? Phil Myers. Let's pray for Sister Sherry. Okay. Little baby up in Republic. Keep praying for you. Keep praying for you. Okay, we want you to take up the missionary offering tonight, too. So if the ushers would come forth, take up the missionary offering. All stand and bring these before the Lord.
Precious
Lord, precious Father. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we look to you for our everyday, our strength. We know you're supplied to all our needs. You died in my will, Lord God. And obey you. Lord, we have so many needs that are present with me that are sick, Brother Ray and Sister Susan and Brother Shelby, Son Johnson. We believe and we trust you, Lord, that you will take care of them. Lord, the McGowans, Lord, just help them through this time, Lord, of sickness. Give them strength. Help them to get them back on their feet. Oh, God. Dear Lord, this little baby, Lord, that's sick, and this man, oh, God, that's got this flame, we ask you, Lord, to save them. Bring them into your kingdom, Lord. Let them be gained. Touch them, Lord. Oh, God. Dear Jesus. Bring these all before you, oh, God. Dear Jesus. These elderly sisters. Your precious saints. Your precious fruit. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Touch these men. Our ministry, Lord, in Louisville tonight, Lord. Oh, God. That your will be done. Covering and come on them, that we'd all know that you spoke. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My Savior, my God, my God. Dear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name.
Can do anything.
My God can do.
you know, you work out in the public, you run into so many different attitudes, you know. Right now, they're singing about being jolly, and I was thinking about how much turmoil is going on while they're trying to be jolly. You know, you think about this is the season to be jolly, and the people, you know, the attitudes they get. I work in a place where there's a coupon. I bet you every 2 days, there's a 2-day coupon, then a 1-day sale, then a half-day sale, then an evening sale, then a 2-day coupon. So unless you read the date on the coupon, it's so easy to come in there all excited, get this basket full of stuff, and then you get the ring and they say, you know, here's my coupon, and you say, but that coupon does not apply to what you purchased. You want to know who's not jolly? It might be the season to be jolly. And I was thinking when Brother Michael was talking about, you know, about good and righteous. You know, they feel like they're doing a good thing and they're all excited about doing this good thing, but the attitude in which they're doing, you know, what justifies? You know, and you think about giving our all to God, you know, and working with the Lord and working with his people and trying to become one. You know, I pray that I remember that all this has to do with the attitude of greatness, of giving, I should say. To give of myself unto the Lord, it belongs to him, but my desire, I think what I'm trying to say is that it's my desire to give unto him, not to feel like that I'm committed to, that I don't want to get in that attitude of being good and being jolly, then get aggravated and mad while trying to be jolly. I don't want the two to conflict. I want to put myself in a place where the Lord is able to use me for his glory, that I can strive to do what's right in righteousness in his word that he's given me, that I might be able to learn to glean of that and receive of that from every avenue, from no matter where I am or who I want in contact with. That sister that came Sunday, Sister Brenda Howard, she had such an attitude of praise the whole time. And I know she didn't understand what Brother Smith was teaching as far as an understanding in the word, but it witnessed to her spirit. And she, you know, just had that praise in her. And I want, you know, to exemplify a spirit that, you know, to praise with them, you know. And I said, oh, yes, you know, praise God, I'm wanting to say so bad if you really knew what he was singing. You know, like Nicodemus, you know, coming by night and having that desire to know, and then saying, and not understanding, but not wanting to come out in the daylight with all of his other peers and say, can I enter again into her womb and be born again? No, he didn't want to do that, but he had that desire to know. You know, and that's what she seemed to have, a spirit to blend up, because she had the praise in her heart. And there are many, many people out there that I run across, Brother Michael, during the day that talk, you know, as far as good, you know, and possibly some even righteous to the degree that they know it. And I thank God for that, because every little bit helps, because if they're living all that they know, God can bring you to more. And that's what I want to find myself doing, be an example before others that they might desire to come to know more about our Christ.
Appreciate being here tonight, and appreciate the thought-provoking words that we've heard thus far. And you know, that's one thing that, you know, Bible talks about charity is not easily provoked, but on truth, we want to be easily provoked, don't we? We want to have some desire to understand. And so, you know, I remember when I first come here, Brother Tucker, he got teaching on the Godhead one time, you know, and I know I've told this, but there's some Missourians here that haven't heard this, so so I get to start all over. Well, that's great when you got new people. You can just pull out them old messages, our old testimonies, and hey, they're all new again, aren't they? but anyway, I first come here and he started teaching about the Godhead a little bit, and he got up one time and said, how he would kind of, well, the oneness people say you got to be baptized, and when you're baptized, got to be saying Jesus' name. Then he'd kind of laugh around a little bit, and Trinity says you got to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he'd look around and I can prove them both wrong, and then wouldn't say nothing. You had to come back to the next service to hear the rest of the story. Well, you know, you're wanting to know, what is it, you know? Because, you know, if you haven't heard that before, that's, man, that's, okay, I'll buy it, you know, but what is it, you know? Well, I like to be, you know, I like that. I like to people to present ideals and our thoughts make us think of or consider our ways, doesn't it? That's what it does. It makes it consider our ways. And I thought that, good and righteousness, you know, Brother Michael said something about, you know, we know what the bad is. And most of us do, you know, hopefully most of us, and I believe that, and I'm not going to think any different. Most of us have quit committing sin, I believe, you know, or just the sin of commission, as they call it. You know, we know better, don't we? We've learned better, our intentions is not to. We may, you know, I might stub my toe and tomorrow, or drop a hammer, and I might let out a bad word I have to repent about, you know. So hopefully I won't, you know, but what my point is, I think for overall that the committing of those sins that we know are wrong, or I think we were getting above that. But it's the sins of omission where we get in trouble, isn't it? Well, the omission, and that kind of falls in that little bit of that what's good and what's righteous, isn't it? You know, of course Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you know, you do all these things, but you omit the weightier matters, you know, of mercy and judgment and things because they were doing things, they were doing good things, they were, you know, of course, Jesus, well, they were praying, wasn't they? Sure they were. Jesus said, you pray in the street corners and do those things, and they were fasting, wasn't they? He said, when you're fasting, you disfigure your faces and let men know you fast. Well, they were doing good, wasn't they? But Jesus said, truly you have your reward, don't you? So, you know, and he instructed us, when you fast, you know, make it look like you're not even fasting, like everything's just all right. And when you pray, go in your closet, you know, and don't shout, don't sound a trumpet, you know, and oh my God, look what I'm doing, you know, and because, you know, he gave us the Beatitudes. He said, when thou doest thy alms, do it in secret, and your Heavenly Father will reward you openly. And so, that's righteousness there, isn't it? So one part's good. It's good that men pray. You know, it's good that men fast.
Right.
But there's a righteous way to do that, isn't it? And Jesus gave us those instructions to do that. So, we want to find that out, don't we? Want to find out, why? You know, why? You know, I was thinking, you know, they mentioned that the fact that the Jews thought that, that if they were doing good, that God was blessing, and that was all it was to it, you know. And if you had some trouble, then, you know, you must be just just a big old sinner or something, you know. Well, of course, you know, Jesus... not Jesus, but I think it was Peter or John, you know, had wrote in the scripture about supposing that gain is godliness, you know. But did you know that gain can be godliness? You know, people live right, they do right, they treat people right, you can get gain from that, can't you? And but just gain. You know, isn't that funny how that change? That can change. And I'm supposing that we all try to do that. We, you know, try to treat people right. I've got customers that, you know, I got recommended over from some kind of computer. What was that? And some kind of some kind of thing where they. You know, they don't talk to each other, and they, well, who would you use on heat and air? And they said, you know, Paul with Arkansas General Maintenance, he's just very honest, you know. Well, you know, and I tend to be that way, and I want to be that way. That's always my intentions. So with that, you know, people, you get referred to, and that's what most of my business is, referral. Well, you know, I could get me a big old pile of money, which I don't have, by the way. and I could say, my God, God has blessed me. What's wrong with them people down there? Don't they know? Now, see there? So, God can bless you, but gain, not all gain is godliness, is it? It's a lot of an attitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even, well, perfect example is Job, isn't it? He had great gain, didn't he? Great gain, and then he lost it all, and he still blessed the Lord, but he still had a little bit of, you know, self-righteousness in there. God worked it out. But I thought that was good. You know, what is righteousness? What is righteousness? Well, you know, you take, and it's funny how things work out, you know. God gave Moses the law and for the children of Israel. And one thing was, you know, the act of circumcision, which was started with Abraham, actually. Well, you know, that came into the law there. And of course, now later on in the New Testament, Paul says, if you be circumcised, you have fallen from grace. Now go figure that out. So what that means is that one thing that God used at one time is no longer in his what he's doing now. So, and that's where, you know, we want to find out what's good, and we want to find out what's righteous. And he made a statement in Galatians, I think it's Galatians. I'm not going to turn there because I can't read it anyway. Galatians. I forgot my glasses again. Galatians, I think it's the fourth chapter of Galatians. He said, this is how easy it is to do good. He said, he made a statement. He said, and I'm going to try to quote this very crudely. How is it that you turn to these weak and beggarly elements in which ye desire to be in bondage? Think of that. What was he talking about? What is that weak and beggarly element there? I can tell you what it is. It's religious exercise. And it's good, isn't it? Some of it's good. But see, when you desire that, when that becomes your focal point of doing, and it no longer from the heart, then it becomes weak and beggarly elements, commandments of men. So as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, there it is. Somebody found it. At least I got the right chapter and but now after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements wherein ye desire to be in bondage? And if you was to really study that, it's talking about things of the law and some of the Gentiles, their religious exercises too is included in that. And you observe days, you observe years, and you know things like that. And that was religious content to that. And so but we want to find out what God wants. You know, Jesus made a statement one time. He said that, I think, as said, Lord, your brother and your sister and your mother, they want to talk to you. And he said, well, who is my brother and my mother and my sister? He said, it's he that doeth the will of my Father. The same is my brother and my mother and my sister. And so, the will of the Father. And now I'm up here talking kind of big right now, but I haven't accomplished everything that I'm projecting, is what I'm trying to say. I haven't done. But I got a vision. And without a vision, the people will perish. So as we do good, we'll seek for righteousness, won't we? The Lord's righteousness. Brother Durham made a statement, and I'm sure he didn't mean it the way I'm going to say it, but he said, do you know what iniquity is? He said, it's not doing the will of God. And I pondered that for a minute. I thought, you know, we're all guilty then. God help us. God, give us the grace and mercy we need to do your will. Yes. And I just believe he will. I believe he will. As long as we look to Him, keep our eyes on Jesus, that He will, what was that scripture someone used that said, He will finish what He begun in us? Yeah, that's crude. But I'm thankful to be here.
Hallelujah.
Tonight, it's been a while since I've been very active doing much of anything, and getting to be a little more come to life. But when I first come here, I had a little 10-acre plot up on Billy Goat Mountain, which is a place called Valonia. And this was my little hideaway. And then I got married to a little blonde. And we tried to put her things and my things and our things in a house that was too small for much of anything. So we moved into town.